Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
In this agreement, which is pretty ironclad, there's an interlocal, a resolution on the county side. We have an interlocal, they have a resolution. And then by both of those, the library board of governors sets the bylaws and runs the entire thing. And it's pretty straightforward that they are the governing body, that they've got rules for removing people, removing members off that board. And we saw a member who was from our side removed probably not by the rules. Miss Lori Nesmith, who is a long-term advocate for all kinds of things in our city, entrepreneur, philanthropist, things like that, that is always volunteering her time. And she was pulled from that board unjustly, really.
This is City Councilwoman Jen Brayer. Okay. City Councilwoman Jen Brayer talking during the city council meeting on Thursday, raising the question about things that are going on at the library, which has been an on-again, off-again saga. We've talked about it many times, but you have issues of who got hired to be the director for the library system. What's wrong, John? You're giving me a weird look. I'm just... Okay. All right. When producer John side-eyes me and he's like looking at wires and looking at plugs and looking at the volume of my microphone and I'm trying to figure out, you know, everything okay?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're good, bro. I got you.
All right. Make me nervous. The hiring of Cristobal Rivera over the desires of the Board of Governors for the library system, which they had picked somebody else. And then we all know that, you know, Wes Moreno picked Cristobal Rivera. You have questions about the, you know, improper influence in the process by former aide to Ashley Hofberger, Mel Luna, who has now resigned from her position over a variety of things, but certainly that was one of them. Then you have, and you have pushback from the community over that. Then you have, there's now only three members of this board left. There are normally supposed to be five, but two of them have left. Then the mayor removed one of the people, Lori Nesmith, from the board and replaced her with somebody else. So that's part of the backdrop. Now, since this happened with, and there's a lot of, there's been a lot of questions raised about who has the authority to do what, because it looks like, you know, some of these things may not have the authority that the people doing them thought that they had. And so then the news came out on, what was it, Monday? They were supposed to have a meeting and they got told late morning that your meeting has been canceled for this month. By Wes Moreno. And all the other meetings this summer have been canceled. And the question being asked in response is, well, under what authority do you have to cancel all of the meetings? Well, that remains a question because it looks like if you just kind of read the bylaws that, you know, they're in control of their thing. And if you go back in history and understand how this happened, the system, you know, used to be run by the city. And then there was a vote to create the entity, the Board of Governance. It would run it for the city and the county. Over time, I think authority has basically gone towards the county for the most part, although it's really supposed to be with this Board of Governance. So there's a lot of questions about what's being done, who has the authority to do it, whether it's being done appropriately. And with the cancellation of the meetings, the follow-up was that the chair of the board says, you know, why? No, you can't do that. So... we want to have a special meeting to talk about all this. It's not clear whether that meeting is going to happen or not because it's a question of who's running the show and who has the authority to run the show. So go back to Thursday when Jen Brayer is raising the question about having the interlocal agreement between the city and the county being violated, the inappropriate removal of Lori Nesmith, you know, who the mayor has said he was asked to remove her, and he went along with that. So Jen Brayer, again, what does she think is going on?
The whole structure is kind of being attacked, and it uses our citizens' money in this agreement to run this. And we've got a pretty strong, so I'm bringing that up because I think that we have to maintain the integrity of this board, maintain the integrity of this agreement.
So she uses the term that she thinks the board is being attacked. I have previously raised the thought that perhaps the board would just get dissolved. But honestly, when I was thinking that, I thought that they were much like any other board that works essentially for the county. And if you make yourself obnoxious to the leadership in the county, right, wrong, or otherwise, if they don't think that you're of value to them, then, well, they'll just run you like anything else gets run and not have you involved. Well, there's actually an agreement with the city and money from the city that goes into this, so it's not as easy as just, you know, deleting the board. But at the moment, you know, Administrator Moreno is sort of acting as if he has that authority, and, you know, it may not be that he has it, right? So she follows up.
We are all taxed for this, and so we, because of that, set up a pretty strong interlocal and agreement for a board of governors, citizens in this city and county, to run this thing. And right now it is not being upheld in a respectful way. So the board has not been filled. They're shy members. And it looks like it's an attempt to kind of try to make that collapse and us not have this in place for our citizens. So I just wanted to bring the awareness to that and make sure you guys were looking into it, because it really is our obligation to make sure that this agreement is upheld with a tax dollar that's associated with it.
Charles Baer generally agreed with her about the concerns, and nothing gets done. This is just comments at the very end of the meeting. But as I said, that was prior to Monday's cancellation of not just that day's meeting, but of all the meetings this summer by Wes Moreno. And his concern is that when you have a board that's only three members, that it, you know, somehow it is not capable to function to its full capability. It's got a quorum. I mean, three is enough. If all three show up, they have, you know, the legislative authority to act, if they're board of governance, then they might even have some executive authority to act, because they pick their director, or they don't because he does. So at the moment, I would say the future of the libraries and the library board is kind of up in the air, and time will tell, I suppose, what's going to be done about it and who's really going to control it. And will the city and the county divest themselves of this agreement, and will it go back to having a city library and a county library? I don't know. We'll talk to the mayor about it 7:35 this morning and ask him his opinion. But I would say it's for people who are concerned about what's been going on at the library, I would not say they are less concerned today. I would say they are more concerned than ever. And we'll see how this all plays out. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars that are a year, two, 3 years young, low miles, great condition, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. They warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000 miles. So, you know, I mean, they stand behind their cars, right? They're only going out there buying good quality used cars, A condition cars, like A, B, C, D, A condition, that they can sell to you. And part of that is because they know they're going to take care of you after the fact if there's anything wrong with it. So they are motivated to have good cars. Well, you know, a lot of times when you go buy a car off, I don't know, Facebook Marketplace or some corner lot somewhere, whatever, you don't really know these people. You don't know what's going on with that car. Do they even give you a Carfax? Now, Carfax is not everything. Carfax is dependent on the people that volunteer the information to it. And, you know, they might miss things or they might not report things. But Carfax is a good start. Okay, well, if they don't do it, just call Frontier. Give them the VIN. They'll run a Carfax for you for free. It's a little thing. Okay, Carfaxes are not hard to come by. But it's just a small example of how they're willing to help you even buy a car from somebody else, which is crazy. But that's how they work. They just want to be the place that you like going to. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 29 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Please be advised. You may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, bean sprouts, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
Wait, what? I thought those were good for me.
Turns out, not for everyone. Because what's healthy for one person can cause inflammation for another. And the only way to really know what your body needs is to listen to it.
Listen how?
That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to understand what's happening inside you right now. When your results come in, you'll learn exactly which foods to eat, which to avoid, and which supplements are right for you. All based on the world's largest RNA-based human biology database and thousands of clinical research studies. And many people who use Viome report more energy, better digestion, and a better mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase. Viome. Trust your gut.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
It don't mean nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing. It don't mean nothing. Not a thing.
Right.
The Walton County Sheriff's Office put out a very, well, I admire them for it. It was a kind of, it wasn't quite a statement of purpose, but it was a gentle note to the community. Let's just put it that way. And I thought it was so right on that I wanted to share it with you. I thought it was just kind of interesting yesterday. This is the post from the Walton County Sheriff's Office. Okay. Michael Atkinson is the sheriff over there. Good guy. The headline of the post, or the lead note in the post: not everything is your business. And next line, oof, that's hard to read, isn't it? Especially from a public agency. And when we're usually so forthcoming, the audacity of us, how dare we? Oh, I'm sold. We know that five-word sentence will make a lot of folks uncomfortable, unhinged even. They're probably punching their keyboard like Bruce Almighty with a retort before they even finish reading this post.
Did it really say Bruce Almighty in the press release?
Yeah. Here's what we desperately want to share with our community on this Monday. If you're in danger, we will tell you. If there's a threat to public safety, you'll hear from us. If we know your family is in harm's way, we will scream it from the rooftops. However, in all caps, the first emphasis or punctuation they've used the whole thing. If an arrest doesn't end up on this page, it's not because it doesn't, quote, benefit us, end quote. It's not because we simply pick and choose what we tell you and what we don't. We arrest people every single day. We literally have a mugshot list on our app people scroll while having their morning coffee. Some are published here. Some are not. If one is not and the charges are serious, chances are it's because it protects an innocent victim. So let me pause here. I don't know the backstory, but I can infer. I'm a reasonably well-educated, relatively logical, informed adult. I'm guessing there was some lurid story out of Walton County, something that took place that did not get featured on the Facebook page, scuttlebutt on the internet, worked its way around. People were talking about this story and they didn't see a Facebook post. What gives? It must be because it's a story that's bad for them or benefits them, or, you know, the kinds of things that they're kind of hinting at. So I'm guessing that they're responding to their refusal or decision to not have this story on their Facebook page. And they say, chances are it's because it protects an innocent victim. It may come as a shock, but there's a lot that's taken into consideration when sending a press release or publishing on social media. Despite the willy-nilly nature of some of those who frequent this forum, we don't use the fling it against the wall and see what sticks communication strategy. If we mess up, we'll tell you. If something goes well, if you're in harm's way, we'll tell you. If someone does something bad and we think the public could learn from it, we'll tell you. Thoughtfully. And intentionally. But we will not, under any circumstances, post at the detriment to a victim's privacy is more pain than good. and give in to a need-to-know culture. Domestic violence cases are often not publicized for a reason, to protect victims. Stop. Think. If there's not a risk to public safety, there should not be a reason to make a victim relive a horrific event in their life. A lot of people want to talk about their rights, but not their responsibilities. That's why there are numerous ways to get information with even the slightest bit of effort and research. You lazy, stupid, intrusive trolls. I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, you are.
But am I reading between the lines incorrectly, John?
No, sir.
No. As for us, we will do whatever is within our power to protect victims to the best of our ability. Always, end of story. We believe our responsibility should be to each other. We're here if you need us. Yay! Yay! Oh, I knew I liked him. I knew I liked their community. Walton County is a good organization. So sit down, shut up, step away from the keyboard. You get nothing. Not from us today. So, yeah, I thought that was quite good. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is actually a really interesting story. Supreme Court, 9-0, ruled in a case that what I would describe as property rights extremists, maybe, or property rights activists, if you prefer the term, whatever, came out of Michigan. And you had a guy who didn't pay his property taxes. I'm on his side already because I think property taxes are, unjustified philosophically. But I digress. And we're obviously going to be talking about this a lot. And he didn't pay his property taxes for 2 years. And it was $2,000 on a home that's worth, I think it was $200,000 is the overall value of this house. And so he, doesn't pay his property taxes. It goes to a tax deed sale, right? And after the tax deed sale, somebody buys it with the interest. I can explain the details if you want. It's actually kind of interesting how all this works. And then it goes to auction. Somebody buys the house for significantly less than the market value, which is, right around, I had the number here, and I don't want to give you the wrong number. I thought it was $190,000, and they paid like $60,000 for the house. So they paid way under. The extra went to him. Yeah, $194,000 was the market value of the house. They paid $74,000, so they had to pay off the $2,000 out of that, and then the other $72,000 went to the homeowner. And he sued and said, "You've taken my house. Like, it's an eminent domain. It's a taking. And you're not supposed to take anybody's property without just compensation. That's a Fifth Amendment, I believe. So you really owe me $122,000 that you've deprived me of." So he sued. And the courts basically said, no, this is how property taxes work. This is the consequence of not paying your property taxes. All the way up to the Supreme Court, where Justice Samuel Alito writes a unanimous ruling or a unanimous opinion on behalf of the court, 9-0, joined by everybody except Clarence Thomas, who still joined but just had different questions or different, things that he wanted to bring up. And Alito says, look, with examples going back to the time of Magna Carta, the early days of the Republic, and later in the 19th century, demonstrating that for hundreds of years, English and American law have allowed the seizure and sale of property as a tax collection method, provided that the government return any surplus proceeds to the debtor. Nothing less and nothing more. The baseline for measuring just compensation in the tax sales context is the sale price, not the property's hypothetical fair market value. Because, obviously, when these things go up for tax deed auction, tax receipt auction, they don't sell for the full price. Otherwise, somebody would come along and pay for it. So, interesting case. And I agree with them. I hate property taxes. I hate the premise of being able to take somebody's property that they don't pay your property taxes. But this literally is how it works. And just as with most other things, how do you avoid your home getting sold at tax deed? You pay the taxes. It's annoying. It's irritating. But what would the alternative be? That they have no recourse? That they just put a lien on your home? Or that they have to pay full market value? In which case, who would bother selling homes? Just, don't pay your taxes. Then the government comes in. They have to pay you the fair market value for your home. They have to eat it on losing the property taxes. So you actually make money in the process, because in some scenarios, the government paying you market value would mean them actually paying your property taxes or not being able to collect the revenue for it. So, interesting case. And what I did learn, I was surprised by this. I didn't know exactly how tax deed sales work. I thought in Illinois the way it worked, which I was most familiar with, was for 3 years, you buy the tax receipts, you buy somebody else's taxes. And usually what you do is you auction them, and then you, whoever's willing to take the lowest rate of interest on those is who gets them. And the homeowner has to buy them back with that interest applied is kind of how it works. Well, then what happens is if the home doesn't need 3 years in Illinois, you just own it. This is what I thought it worked. Well, in Florida, it's a little different. It's 2 years, same process, but then after the 2 years, it goes to auction and whoever has the highest bidder. So owning the tax receipt doesn't give you even first right of refusal. It just makes it eligible for an auction.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Several high-profile primaries reshape political map ahead of November in New York. The progressive-backed candidates score big wins. Incumbent Congressman Adriana Espiá defeated by Darylisa Avila Chevalier.
Fascism is on the rise. Trump is in office. And the odds, as always, are stacked against
us. And Congressman Dan Goldman, also primaried out by Brad Lander. In South Carolina, Attorney General Alan Wilson captures the Republican runoff for governor. Now, President Trump heads to Capitol Hill later today for a meeting with Senate Republicans amid major disagreements. And NASDAQ futures are pointing to a rebound after a rough Tuesday and that sell-off. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 76 degrees with cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, the wrecking crews arrived at the Old Baptist Hospital site in downtown Pensacola. Demolition officially began on Tuesday morning at E and Moreno Streets with the contractors taking down the first floor connector buildings that surround the main towers. The hospital served the community for nearly 73 years before it closed. Assistant project manager Caleb Kane tells Channel 3 the towers will be next to come down. Full demolition is expected to be complete by June of 2027. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz is returning to public service with a new appointment. Florida House Speaker Daniel Perez named Gaetz to the board of directors of Triumph Gulf Coast, the nonprofit that oversees Deepwater Horizon oil spill settlement funds for Northwest Florida. Gaetz begins his role on that board July 1st. A charter elementary school is coming to the University of West Florida campus. The UWF Board of Trustees has approved the university to serve as the authorizing body for Somerset Academy, a charter school network that operates 75 schools nationwide. President Manny Diaz was clear that the university will handle oversight only, not day-to-day operations. The school is set to open in August with 50 to 60 students in kindergarten through third grade. UWF students, faculty, and staff will receive enrollment preference. The school could eventually grow to serve up to 580 students through fifth grade. Construction behind Argo Village is already underway. Well, a recent stolen vehicle pursuit in Escambia County ended with a 9-time convicted felon in custody. Sheriff Chip Simmons says what deputies found in that vehicle made the arrest even more significant. The sheriff says it all started when deputies came across a stolen vehicle and tried to make a traffic stop.
And as they do sometimes late at night and early in the morning, they fled. We chased the car about 3 minutes. The car crashed into a concrete bollard in a closed parking lot on Pace Boulevard. Anyways, the guy got out and ran. We set up a perimeter as we do. And then a resident of a home on West Maxwell says, "Hey, there's a broken window in my on our property." And we go over there and we see blood all over the window. And we go inside and we locate Savario Champion.
And the sheriff says that a search of that vehicle turned up fentanyl, numerous stolen items from at least two other incidents that happened over the weekend, a firearm, and, well, helpfully, Champion's own ID in the bag with that stolen property. Champion was treated at Baptist Hospital for lacerations and then had outstanding warrants. The sheriff said additional felony charges are expected on top of his existing 9 convictions. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer is going after CVS Health. Uthmeyer issued a civil investigative demand requiring CVS to turn over documents and testimony on reimbursement rates by July 28th. Uthmeyer says CVS is rigging the system to favor its own pharmacies in denying Floridians access to affordable medications. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be seeing a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Heading into Friday, a little more sunshine with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, 76 degrees. Our next news at 6. And breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
With your money now. Morgan Stanley has doubled its China humanoid robot shipment forecast for the second time this year. The Wall Street Bank upgraded its forecast, expecting 50,000 units to ship in 2026. That's nearly double its previous projection of 28,000. The bank has already doubled its initial January forecast of 14,000 units. Alphabet will replace Verizon in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The California-based company will join mega-cap tech peers, including NVIDIA, Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft in the Blue Chip Index. Honeywell would remain in the Dow following the completion of its spinoff of Honeywell Aerospace. A U.S. official told the Associated Press that one of Anthropic's artificial intelligence models had identified vulnerabilities in highly sensitive and secure U.S. government computer systems during a testing exercise. The official said Anthropic had teamed up with U.S. intelligence agencies to conduct tests using the company's Mythos model. Futures are currently mixed. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. That's your money now.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi. But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Fool y'all on that. They're gonna tell you, oh, we can't tighten up that tight. You have to lose some services. Yeah, well, I would rather not have to pay taxes on the house that I live in. I mean, that's more, I feel more secure with that than providing me with parks and dog places to poop and stuff like that. I'd rather just not. I wouldn't even mind cutting the sheriff's department in half. Just cut it in half. We're supposed to be responsible for our own safety.
Well, Larry Downs Jr. is nothing if not entertaining. And so in his comments at the county commission meeting last week, a friend, also a super weird philosophical guy, but I like Larry. He's, like I said, entertaining. He says things nobody else will say. Not always good, not always bad. But he says, I'd be happy cutting the sheriff's department budget in half. I'll take care of my own safety. You take care of your own safety. We don't need so many stinking cops. Sheriff Sheriff Chip Simmons.
One of those stinking cops.
One of those stinking cops. Although I've never noticed you smell. So, you know, I mean, Sheriff, welcome back.
Close enough, maybe.
Fair enough. On a hot day. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. What would it look like if we cut your agency in half?
Well, I mean, first of all, I love this country. I love the fact that people can give their opinion, can say what they want to say. Larry and I are friends, and everyone has their opinion. And I believe that while people like Larry can certainly defend himself, I'm not so sure if everyone else can. And I think that law enforcement, we exist to protect those that need protecting. And that's why I got in the job in the first place.
So if half of your staff was cut, if half your budget was cut because of the property tax referendum, it wouldn't be half, but if it were cut significantly, what would that really practically look like on the ground?
If the budget itself was cut, I mentioned before that 92% of our budget, as budgeted, is personnel.
Right.
And so if you're talking about a half cut, that's not even what they're talking about. But
that'd be what, 200 and 200 and a quarter deputies if you cut half?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you got about 450, right?
450, yeah. Yeah, it's about 2 1/4. Yeah, that would be huge. But, I I don't know that we need to go there yet.
So that would be response times. That would be extra. The people would not be available for extra security. That would be presumably guardians. Well, guardians are kind of funded by the school. But, I mean, that's a lot of change.
We train them.
Yeah.
But if we have to cut our staff, then obviously we may not be able to train them either.
So right, yeah.
There would be those situations.
Let's talk about other things. I just thought you would enjoy having a chance to respond to that. And I love your first answer, which is, you know, hey, I love this country that allows people even who say crazy things to say them, which is the whole idea of the First Amendment.
That's why you got a job.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, Larry Downs Jr. has a public forum, and I have this show. That's exactly right. You had an overnight pursuit with a stolen car?
Yeah, you know, our deputies, speaking of the deputies that are out there in the street protecting people, we have a couple of different deputies. This is Deputy Nori, and he also had a trainee with him, Finley. They located a 2024 Hyundai, I guess, Tucson, and it was stolen, so they tried to stop it. And as they do sometimes late at night and early in the morning, they fled. We chased the car about 3 minutes. The car crashed into a concrete bollard in a closed parking lot on Pace Boulevard. Anyways, the guy got out and ran. We set up a perimeter as we do. And then a resident of a home on West Maxwell says, hey, there's a broken window on my property. And we go over there and we see blood all over the window. And we go inside and we locate Savario Champion. Obviously placed him into custody, charged him with the break-in. He had some lacerations to both arms. I'm not sure if that was from the car chase or the car crash. Probably the window. He treated at Baptist Hospital, by the way. During the investigation, we searched the vehicle, and what did we find? We found fentanyl, and we also found numerous stolen items from other incidents this past weekend. So at least two other cases where this guy was responsible for stealing stuff. A bag was located with a stolen vehicle's keys, also a firearm, and Champion's ID. So he was kind enough to put his ID in there with a gun. In the stolen property.
Oh, well, I mean, look, if another thief makes off with your stolen property, you want to make sure it gets back to you.
Yeah, you can call the cops and say, hey, my ID's in there.
I mean,
you
can put like a luggage tag on the stolen Glock, yeah. You know, and then make sure that if somebody else steals it from you and the cops find him, you get your gun back that belongs to somebody else.
Society wants to thank him for that, so we do appreciate that. I know the prosecutors will. We also had outstanding warrants and... by the way, he's a 9-time convicted felon.
Oh, come on. Nine times?
Yeah. I think we're going to add a couple of felonies to that.
Good Lord.
At least one, two, three, four, five, whatever. It's a lot.
Okay.
So good job by our Deputy Nori and his trainee, Finley. Good job.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. There hasn't been a lot of other kind of high-profile incidents. I want to give you credit for that. You know, we talk about the ones when there are ones and, you know, when there aren't any, we'll say that. We did have a big story. The PNJ kind of broke it. I had heard rumors about this. Actually, somebody had said, you know, you ought to look into this. I'm like, I'll have Chip in on Tuesday. We'll talk to him about mm-hmm. it then. Talk command structure just for a second so people get the sense of the significance of this. So there's you. Then you have two chief deputies, Tommy Leiter and Andrew Hobbs. And then you have – what's after that?
Commanders.
How many? Three commanders?
We have three commanders.
Three commanders. And then the next layer would be the colonels, and you have six? Typically, is that right?
Yes.
Six colonels, and now five, but six.
Right.
So she was at that layer of the administration. What happened?
Well, we got word from the Milton Police Department that they were investigating her for a felony. And
she lives in Milton?
I don't know where she lives.
I didn't understand the relationship of Milton to all this. So that's why I asked.
I believe the victim lives in Milton.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So
Milton issued a warrant.
Right. And once they issued the warrant and we read the probable cause statement, we informed her that she was going to be, we're going to be under investigation and likely terminated. She chose to resign or retire.
Okay.
And she did that just prior to being, to actually being charged.
So 19 years in, something like that?
I think she has 25 or 26
years. Oh, okay. My math. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Long, well enough to be retirement age. Okay, go ahead.
That's correct. She was the colonel over our mental health unit. That was her niche, and that was all she was over. She wasn't. She's kind of was in a unique situation. The News Journal erroneously reported that she was over some other things, but that's not true.
Okay, so because it said she was. Oh, I had it here, but they said some other elements of her super that she was over. But it was only the mental health unit.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
They said that she was over a number of other things, but we have Colonel Don James is actually over the SROs and those other positions.
Okay.
So anyways, Mindy Young, obviously we have standards at the sheriff's office where certainly in the command staff, we expect everyone to uphold those standards. And being charged with a felony does not bode well for that. So she's no longer an employee at the Skamania County Sheriff's Office.
And in this case, the alleged felony is harassing her husband, who they're not divorced yet, but he's apparently living with somebody else. There was some property damage. There were some threatening statements. There's a variety of things that are kind of in that genre, but her behavior was enough that you knew she'd have to be put on at least on during an investigation on desk duty, and then after that
she was on leave.
She was on leave.
We knew that the investigation involved a felony, so we went ahead and took her.
Got it.
Her cars and her guns and all that sort of
thing. And the only reason I ask that is because as opposed to when a deputy is involved in a shooting, they are on mandatory desk duty, which does not presume any guilt and does not presume any felony by them, but this was the investigation of a felony would mean that it's prudent to put her on.
She was simply on leave. She was not to work at all in any capacity until we get more clarity with regards to their investigation. Once we got that, that clarity, it was, again, we don't need a conviction. I just need to look at the probable cause statement and determine that that's something that we can't employ.
Reaction to this, a fairly high level, leader of yours and.
I didn't promote her. She was a colonel when I took over at the sheriff's office. But we did find a niche for her. Again, this mental health. She was a licensed mental health counselor, and we were able to use her as our part of our internal mental health, which we will now direct.
Okay, so when people are dealing with trauma from any incident, they can go to her or go to the people that she's overseeing and talk. And that was her responsibility?
That's correct. It was also always an option to go to EAP. Or you can go
What's
to
EAP?
Basically, it's a service that we provide for mental health.
Okay.
For counseling and therapy and such. And most agencies, most governmental agencies will give you 3 free visits. And then after that, your insurance has to kick in. So they've always had that option. So and now that will be the only option that we'll have.
Okay.
At least in the short term.
Okay. Anything else you want to clarify, talk? I know in a lot of ways, you're not involved in all the particulars of the case. It's obviously it's a kind of a soap opera sort of story, but cops are also people. And we always have to remember that cops are people. And that means that sometimes they, have unhealthy things in their lives. Sometimes they have very virtuous things in their lives, but any other comments you want to make about this?
No, she had a career at the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose sight of that. But again, I mentioned that we have certain standards, and we have standards certainly for our command staff and the position that she held. I'm obviously disappointed in it. I hope that she can end up getting past this, and I hope the victims can get past this as well. But her career at sheriff's office is complete.
You guys did an active shooter training at on campus with UWFPD recently at one of the dorms. Yeah, I was talking to Chief Roman Jackson about that a little bit. So
exactly, that's it. We work very well with the UWF Police Department because they're obviously in our jurisdiction. And
what do they have? Like 25 officers? 20?
I don't know what they have.
Okay,
I know Roman Jackson very well.
I feel like that's in the vicinity.
He was a high-ranking employee at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office before he got this job. And so we take every opportunity to train with our other agencies that we. that we partner with, and certainly UWF we do that with. And then they were able to, luckily enough, they had some dorm rooms and some areas that weren't being used because the school was, I guess, during summer recess as well. And so we had some high quality training, because you never know where an incident might take place. And one building, while it's a little different than other buildings, it does give you some training opportunities. So we took advantage of that. So we really appreciate that.
Novel situations are always a good opportunity to train and make sure that you're applying what you know in unusual circumstances, you know, working with other agencies, because God forbid you have to respond to college campus. It's better to be able to interact effectively, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the first time that we've had. We had an incident a couple of years ago where Pensacola Christian College, we had an active shooter call, ended up being a misunderstanding. But certainly with all the buildings and trying to figure out what building's what and how do you clear a 5 and 10 story building is obviously something that we don't train with very much. And when you're given that opportunity, Have you done one with them lately?
Do they have a police department? Do they have a security force? What's their
Pensacola Christian College? They
PCC
have security, but they don't have a police department.
Okay, so you guys are the police. Well, actually, got to think about it. They're in the city now. Baptist is in the city. They're in the county, right?
That's correct.
PCC is in the county. Okay. Donut strike for Manna. So this week, right? Early next week.
What is this? Fifth or sixth year in a row?
Yeah.
I guess it starts this morning. But I know the police department, the sheriff's office, the fire departments, they're all getting together. The thought there is that we're gonna law enforcement. We love donuts, apparently, and we're gonna stay off donuts until we raise a lot of money or a lot of food.
This hits some deputies harder than others.
Probably does. I'm not really a big donut either. So
I know like, you're okay, not. You're not much of a donut.
I don't care,
more of a burger and steak guy.
Yeah,
so
So anyways, the bottom line is the money and the food goes to Manna, and having been on the board Manna for the board member. For Manna, I know that the food stays here local. That's very important to me.
That's a great organization. It's one of the 4, 5, 6 organizations that we give our money to all the time, because we believe in what they do, doing the gospel. We love what they do. Concealed carry rules have changed again. It seems like almost every week we wake up to something new. Now the rule is that a court has decided that 18 to 20-year-olds cannot be discriminated against via the rule that says they cannot concealed carry. James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, has said that we're not going to work on this anymore. So it's a law now. It's practice anyway in the state. 18 to 20-year-olds can conceal carry, right?
That's correct.
They can't buy a pistol. And I think they still cannot. The rules changed so much. I don't think they can still buy shotguns and rifles, but we're working on that part. But yeah, they can be gifted a weapon, and they can conceal carry a handgun if they're gifted it, right?
I honestly think all this is just a matter of time.
I agree.
Things all come into alignment. We are a Second Amendment state. We're certainly a Second Amendment county. And so the change doesn't really affect us, except for we approach somebody trying to buy a weapon. And we say, okay, guys, y'all sort this thing out. So it is we have been given some direction on that, but their direction is basically what you just said. They can now carry concealed.
Yeah, and so, for example, things that in the past, if you see a young-looking person and they happen to lift their shirt inadvertently, you see a gun in the past, that would have been a probable cause perhaps for a stop and question. At least now, not anymore, because unless you have reason to believe they're 15 or a former felon.
Well, yeah, and you can still stop, and if you have reason, like I said, they may be a former felon, then they're not supposed to carry. But and if someone feels concerned about it, and there might be brandishing it, or fearing that they may be brandishing it, we can stop and talk to somebody. But then ultimately, we'll find out. We haven't made any arrests for that, so we're not out there looking for 19-year-olds that were concealed carry in the first place.
Right.
And so it's not something to, unless you're running from the cops in a car and you're a 9-time convicted felon.
And you have fentanyl in your ID and all the
others. Opinions on those types of characters.
And I periodically ask, has the changes in open carry, concealed carry, permitless, now 18 to 20-year-old concealed carry, have any of these changes been issues? Are you seeing a lot of people open carry in Escambia? I still haven't seen but one in the year.
I don't know that I've seen any, and I'm not aware of any issues at all. Obviously, we've let our deputies know. So that if they see something, my thought is that they will evaluate it, visually, and then okay, that looks like they're in an area where they can conceal carry or open carry, and so it's not been an issue.
I thought it'd be more of an issue that some stores have said that we don't prefer you to open carry in our stores. I thought there'd be more of a little bit conflict over that, and it just seems like it's all kind of fizzled. Like it's Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine just doing whatever they're doing.
Well, so. And we talked about this before. You know, a lot of people didn't realize. I think Alabama's open carry, Tennessee's open carry. And, like, no one knew it because people weren't actively doing it.
Right, right.
Because, again, it's not as convenient as you think it is. You strap a gun to your side, and you go to a store parking lot and realize, well, dang, I can't carry in there. I can't carry in there. I got to take it off and put it somewhere. So it's not as convenient as one would think that it is. My assumption is people are doing more concealed carry still. And again, if you conceal carry correctly, then no one will know about it.
Jeb Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I do want to clarify one thing that we talked about with Colonel Vanosh Young. She was over the internal mental health part, but she was also over the co-responder unit, which is where we partner with a Lakeview clinician.
Got it.
But there's also a supervisor over that, and it doesn't affect that at all. We're going to continue with our co-responder unit.
Okay.
And then again, we will filter our internal employees that have a need to our EAP program or to a personal provider.
Excellent. Very good. Right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time, for what you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Thanks so much. By the way, one of the things he said yesterday that I loved is that comment about, hey, you know, look, this woman had a long career. And let's not forget that in the process of talking about, you know, the allegations that have come up lately. And, you know, kind of similar to what I said the Walton County Sheriff's Office posted, I'm fine with not getting into all the details too much. You know, we know enough to know there was a reason she was, put on leave and then resigned. And okay, the rest will be for the courts. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. If you need anything done on the complicated systems inside your house, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the electrical, the heating, you know, Peden will take care of that. A generator installed, maintained, fixed, you know, whatever the case may be. Started with air conditioning back in the day in Panama City in 1969, and since then they've expanded product lines, geography, two time zones, all the way from Tallahassee in the east time zone, all the way west to states, all the way into Baldwin County and to Mobile now, and they'll take care of you. 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work, good people, good products, good installation. And this spring you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, so you go to the front of the line, and 15% off repairs all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's the roundup event for Faber House at the Escambia County Equestrian Center on Mobile Highway. Wear your best Western gear and enjoy the live music and great barbecue for a great cause. See faberhouse.org for more. Saturdays from 9 till 2, stroll through more than 200 local vendors in downtown Pensacola's Palafox Market, named by Southern Living as Florida's best farmers market. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Florida voters could soon decide the future of property taxes. Thursday morning at 9, Pep Talk presents a special Greater Pensacola Chamber legislative wrap-up focusing on the proposed property tax referendum. Hear expert analysis from leading legislative and legal professionals as they explain what's being discussed in Tallahassee, what's at stake, and what it could mean for homeowners, businesses, and local governments. That's Thursday morning at 9 during the Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Oh, nice. 16 Candles is on, man.
And the award for the least heterosexual statement ever made in this apartment goes to... Harold Lee, come on down, man. Take a bow.
Shut up, man. It's a classic.
We'll be right back.
don't want to get y'all worked up too early in the morning, but Dairy Queen's releasing three new Blizzard flavors and a 250th Birthday of America anniversary slush float.
What?
Yeah, it's a red, white, and blue. I need to be excited about that. The DQ Cherry Misty Slush Soft Serve and Blue Raspberry Misty Slush with Star Sprinkles.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze Milton.